Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are looking around the wide world of American soccer. We're going to chat about Sergiño Dest's injury and how it affects the U.S. men's national team at the Copa America, and we're going to look back at the MLS weekend that was. We'll do all of that in less than 10 minutes, because here at Backheeled, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So, without any further ado, let's get to it and talk soccer. Let's start out with a bummer of a piece of news surrounding Sergiño Dest, the U.S. men's national team starting right back, suffered an injury in training with PSV Eindhoven just a few days ago, and is now set to miss the Copa America with an apparently serious knee injury. This is a big deal for the U.S. as they try to continue to push towards being one of the better teams in the world, one of the better teams on this side of the Atlantic, a good opportunity to test themselves, and a big test certainly for Greg Berhalter as well as this group of players. No, Dest puts a lot of strain on the rest of this roster. It puts Greg Berhalter in a bad spot when it comes to finding his replacement, but I want to play Greg Berhalter for just a minute. In this fictional reality where I get to decide what happens with the USMNT at that right back spot, my pick is not Joe Scally, who is the obvious sort of backup right back in that depth chart. It's not Weston McKennie, who we saw play at right back in Dest's absence back in the Nations League. It's not any of the other options that are traditionally in that right back spot. It's not Tyler Adams either, though I've seen that be brought up recently. I don't agree with that whatsoever. It's Tim Weah, who has played fullback over in France earlier in his career, who's played fullback, who's played outside back, really with Juventus this season in Serie A. This is a guy who already plays on the right side, is right-footed, has a real defensive work rate, physically is not particularly imposing, but neither is Sergiño Dest. Someone who can help the U.S. maintain a lot of their attacking threat while probably not losing a ton on the defensive end. Now, this is something that is worth trying, in my mind, certainly in those pre-Copa America friendlies that are coming up in June. This is not something that Berhalter should just roll out there against Uruguay to close out the group stage and all of a sudden things are going very, very poorly. This is something that's likely going to take a little bit of time for the U.S. to get comfortable with as Tim Weah adapts to playing a role that he's never done with the U.S. men's national team. But to me, shifting Tim Weah back a line in defense and really keeping him still as that high and wide option on the right side in possession, it doesn't have to change his possession game all that much. Making that shift helps the U.S. keep the most talent on the field. Is Joe Scally a game changer at this level? No. We've seen Tim Weah, they'll be a game changer at this level. Is DeAndre Yedlin or whoever you're thinking about bringing into this team to play at right back, are those guys game changers? No. Right? Having Tim Weah drop back one line defensively to a role that he does know, it's not like he's never done this before. Having him drop back a line lets you keep your midfield solidity. You don't have to move McKennie. You don't have to move Tyler Adams. It lets you keep your general attacking structure where you can have Gio Reyna or whoever the winger is on that side pop into the half spaces if Reyna's playing as a central midfielder. Maybe it's Pulisic who shifts to that side and someone like Haji Wright or Brandon Aaronson over on the left wing. There are really simple ways to do this where it all just hinges on Tim Weah's ability to adapt. And if we've seen Tim Weah, who's played as a nine, who's played as a right winger, who's played as a left winger in a 4-3-3, he's played as an outside midfielder on both sides in a midfield four, he's played at left back, he's played at right back, he's played at right wing back, he's done basically everything for club and country when you smush all that together. I'm fairly confident that Tim Weah can adapt to this role. Now, losing Dest is a blow for the U.S. men's national team. His ability to combine, his ability to add a little bit of flair in the defensive third, in the midfield third on the ball, helps the U.S. get out of tight spots in a way that Tim Weah is okay at, but it's certainly not Sergiño Dest. And you do lose Weah's ability to constantly be threatening upfield in transition. Right? You miss that stuff. I'm not denying that. But to me, shifting Tim Weah back into that right back spot is the smallest of all of the potential evils that comes from this very important Sergiño Dest injury. It's an unfortunate thing for the U.S. It's certainly unfortunate for Sergiño Dest. I feel for him missing, a really, really big tournament. This would have been the second biggest tournament that he's eligible to play for the U.S. after he played at the World Cup. This is the next big one for this young U.S. group of players. He'll come back and he'll be a good player for the U.S. again at some point down the line. What this means for his club future while he's on loan for PSV, I don't know. It adds certainly questions to that situation. But if I'm Greg Berhalter in the U.S., I'm giving Tim Weah a real look at right back. I'm talking with him now about him playing in that role. I'm talking with him about getting ready to do that in June in those big pre-Copa friendlies. And, I think there's a real chance that this looks actually quite good on paper for the U.S. if they can unearth an obvious player to stick in Weah's right wing spot in the attack. Let's park the U.S. men's national team conversation there and bop around the world of Major League Soccer, where there was some absolute insanity on the field for us over the weekend. The LA Galaxy winning a 4-3 thriller against the San Jose Earthquakes. The Galaxy have this crazy skill of turning, you know, really easy, simple wins into ridiculous nail biters that don't seem terribly simple for this team. The Galaxy up 3-0 against San Jose, and then it turns into a 4-3 nail biter for them. Long live the Galaxy. They are truly, truly special in all sorts of different ways. Another team in the Western Conference that is doing far better this year than I anticipated, Real Salt Lake. They go to Chicago and hand the Fire their joint worst ever home loss in a 4-0 win for RSL on the road. Chicho Arango has been excellent for this team. Andres Gomez is starting to become maybe a more consistent option in the final third. He snags a goal in this game. Diego Luna, Fidel Barajas, fun attacking pieces for them. Luna gets a goal off the bench in this game. Even without any of their original healthy center backs, RSL are still getting results, and the Fire certainly are a dumpster fire, no pun intended there. So we can't take a ton away from this win all on its own. But man, as a whole, RSL sitting third in the Western Conference right now, 3 points behind the LA Galaxy in first place. This team looks legit to me, and I've watched every single game they've played so far this season. They look confident, they look comfortable on the ball in the way that they just haven't really in years past. This is a different RSL team and one that should be striking fear into the heart of every team on their schedule going forward. Plenty of other incredible action from the weekend in Major League Soccer and around the American soccer landscape. You can go check that out over on backheel.com. Sticking in MLS, though, for just a moment, I want to talk about a couple of deals that are coming to Major League Soccer. Primary transfer window closes today, as I'm recording on April 23rd. Three deals that I very quickly want to discuss. The first has been reported. It's not finalized. None of these are at time of recording. It is Xavier Arriaga being traded from the Seattle Sounders to the Revolution. I like this move for the Revs. They need more talent in this team. And Arriaga is a guy that we've seen start at a high level in MLS before. I don't think he is a top 10, 15, 20 center back in the league. The Revs just need help right now. He is going to be headed over to the New England Revolution. I'm thinking about a guy like Kevin Kelsey coming from Shakhtar over in Ukraine. Young Venezuelan 19-year-old striker who looks like Brandon Vasquez. FC Cincinnati have needed someone to liberate Aaron Bupenza in that front line. He didn't even start this past weekend. Kelsey looks like a guy who can do that. Now, let's pump the brakes on expectations for a 19-year-old who has not played a lot of minutes over in Ukraine, although he has played in the Champions League here and there. He's seen a high level, but he's not consistently shown an ability to impact games at a high level. That's going to take time. He's not going to be a game changer from minute one for Cincinnati. He might not even be a game changer this year. It's going to take time for Kelsey to become a really fully fledged member of this strong attacking unit for FC Cincinnati, but he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he has good off-ball movement. There's still work to do there, and there's certainly work for him to do in his hold-up play, but all of those things are positives for a Cincinnati team who clearly needed someone to be in that big back-to-goal striker mold to let Bupenza float around the attack a little bit more. Finally, one more deal to discuss. Mateus Rojas going to Inter Miami, another Paraguayan midfielder. Tata Martino certainly has a type. Inter Miami need bodies right now. They're maybe cashing in on some of that roster flexibility that they got by ditching some players over the offseason, by shedding DeAndre Yedlin's salary. And that deal with FC Cincinnati, Rojas is 28 years old. He's been with Corinthians since last summer. There's been something of a contract dispute, according to The Athletic's Tom Bogert. He's another body in midfield who can shift forward into the attack as well for this Miami squad. Doesn't look like a game changer to me in the tape that I've watched, but Inter Miami have their share of game changers. They kind of need workers. They need piano carriers to let the piano players thrive, and Rojas seems like a guy who fits that bill. All right, folks, that is it for this episode of the Backheel Show. If you enjoyed, go check out backheel.com. Tons of good stuff over on the site right now. NWSL, USL, MLS, all that jazz. We've got some U.S. men's and women's national team coverage loading as well. You can stay tuned for Thursday's episode. We'll have plenty more American soccer talk coming on that show, but for now, we'll talk to you again real soon.